The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
There's only 7 miracles that is recorded in the book of John. And we're finishing the 7th miracle. You won't find this next miracle in any commentary. You won't even hear people talk about it. But it's just something that I learned when I was studying the book of John years ago that makes me think that there's another miracle, an 8th miracle in the book of John. And it's one that we have all experienced. If you don't think that you've ever had a miracle in your life, when we get through the day, I promise you, you're going to have to agree that you are wrong. You haven't had one miracle in your life. You have had some daily miracles in your life and not even realized it. But hopefully, today, God will help us all get a good grip upon this 8th miracle in the book of John. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, you know my prayer is that you'll move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. But Lord, there's no greater glory, no greater purpose, no greater privilege in all the world than to be able to say, thus saith the Lord. And you have said it in your word. Put it on, put Jesus on paper for us. May we understand what you want us to learn because you've done this with your son. And you've given us the Holy Spirit who teaches us that we have no excuse not to believe. In your son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say. What is this hutch dilemma that you are talking about, Pastor? What is this 8th miracle that you say that we all have experienced? It starts in verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Do you understand everything that had to take place for Lazarus to come forth? This 7th miracle is the apex of miracles. It is just flat out awesome. Can I have an amen? Amen. I mean, just bam! Everything is reversed. Everything in Lazarus has been shut down. He is dead. All the systems of the body. That's what?
Shut down.
Shut down. It's quit. Stopped. Ain't going no more. Did I just say ain't?
Twice.
Man. That's the Christian curse word. Ain't. This digestive system kicks back. Respiratory system starts back up. Lungs fills back up. Vision kicks back in. Do you understand the awesomeness of this miracle? And then to have him come out of the grave again, I said last week, I believe he floated out. There's no way he walked out. He was wrapped in grave clothes with a cloth over his head. And that would have been a sight to see him coming out of there hopping and running in the walls and stuff. That would have kind of taken away from the miracle, I think. Distraction. And here it is, that miracle laid out in front, a reverse all the processes, like he's being born again. Same thing happens to babies. All the systems kicks in. And when it stopped, you're dead. And God says, come forth. everything kicks. Oh, I don't know. Do we have a God that's awesome or what? And he can do it anytime he wants. That's why we learned that he wasn't crying because of Lazarus' death. Jesus was crying because he had to bring him back so people would believe. So that gets us to the next miracle. Are you ready? Verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary. In my Bible, we get reinstated about what's going on with who runs the town. Who owns the house? Who owns the town? The difference between being a Christian and doing Christian things is who you can get to follow you to bring glory to God. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and Martha, is that what the Bible says? It's not, Martha's not mentioned. And had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. I think that would get my attention. Seeing someone being raised from the dead, I think that would impress me. I think I'd go around saying, yeah, I was there. Saw it. Woo! You should have been there. But since you're not, let me tell you about it. Anybody else in here? Anybody else that think you had bragging rights if you was at the resurrection of Lazarus? Oh, man, I'm telling you. Yeah. Well, I had to go home and confess pride. Because I would be talking trash about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, he didn't even get down. He didn't sweat. He didn't run around. He didn't spend 10 days. He didn't ask God, if you hear me, then okay, it'd be, I'm praying, Lord, that this is your will. I said, my Lord just said, come forth. And the boy had to obey. Now, in John chapter 5, we already learned that Jesus said, everyone in the grave is going to hear his voice. So he gave us a little example of just one person in the grave. And when we get over here, you're going to see a little bit more people getting out of the grave. And I think, I could be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong on this. But I think a lot of the people that came out of the grave when he was crucified wasn't the believers. We'll get into that one. Because what do you think the believers are? They're down in the bosom with Jesus. They don't want to be up there walking around looking like dead people. I'm cool. I'm staying here. I'm not going back up there. But some of them went their ways. Verse 45 said, many believed. Verse 46 said, but there were some of them that didn't believe. They went to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. What is happening in a person's life when they can see a miracle like this and not believe? See, that's a miracle in itself. I call it the miracle of unbelief. There's only one thing worse than the miracle of unbelief that keeps someone from accepting Christ. It's the person who has accepted Christ and still don't believe. Nah, you know, come on. Is it okay to get personal? We're already there. Might as well just go ahead and enjoy it, huh? Let me see if I can talk to you a little bit about this. If you have accepted Christ and you have seen Christ come through, you have seen him answer prayer. You have seen miracles happen to others around you. You've seen God do things that it was absolutely no way for it to happen. And then when you get in a situation in the present, you don't believe he's going to come through. What is wrong with us? You know what? We do it every day. We don't believe every day. You know what I call Christians who has accepted Christ and still don't believe? Born again unbelievers. Born again unbelievers. What's wrong with a person that sees the resurrection and then runs to tell others why they shouldn't believe either? Look at this. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees in a council and said, what are we going to do? For this man does a whole bunch of miracles. I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to believe. Yes. Don't make it tough. Jesus right in front of you. Just raised someone from the dead. And the only thing they can think about is what can we do not to believe? Is that not the Christian second foundation? The first foundation is Christ. The second foundation we build is unbelief. Let me see if I can. Is it okay? Should we just close in prayer? Because I want you to hear what is being said today, because we all live this. This isn't one or two Christians. This every one of us sitting in this room believe this and live this, and it's a shame that we do. We are more to look at the negative than we ever will look at the positive. If something's got to come through by five, there's no way in the world I'm going to believe it's going to come through by five. I will spend my time totally upset until five. And you know why God wastes the five most of the time? Because you deserve it. We deserve it. Let me see. Say we think God wants us to do something. Okay, let's think about God wants us to do something. Like 2 weeks from today is Super Bowl. Am I right? Okay. Right now, there's two or four teams that could be in the Super Bowl. We know what team should have been in the Super Bowl. we would have been a lot more excited about the Super Bowl, but, you know, we still get excited about the Super Bowl. So we would get everything done and get all the wiring and stuff. I would love to have Super Bowl with you 2 weeks from today here in this building. All of us come together, have a good time. We'll supply the dogs, the chips, the soda. You supply the desserts. Just bring in, let's have a big Sunday Super Bowl party right here. That's what we're planning. Keep your eyes on your emails and bulletin and look at the website. We'll let it go. But let me give you a little secret. How many can come up with reasons why that won't work? I can't hear you. Now, I want you to give me 10 reasons why we can do something that God wants us to do. 10, just 10. Now, I'm going to get a list of 22. 10 is about what we can do. 12 is going to be why we shouldn't do it. Why it won't work. Amen. Why is that? Because of the miracle of unbelief. We're more apt to think what won't come through than what God can do to come through. Now, you're looking at me like, well, Pastor, what you talking about? Okay, I just prove it to you. Want me to prove it to you? That all of us have miracles of unbelief? Let me show you one sign of the miracle of unbelief in our lives as Christians who say we believe in the God who is the God, no other God, the most powerful God, one who can do all things. Characteristic of unbelief in a Christian life is anxiety. Ever experience any anxiety in your life? It's guilty, you honor. I'm just asking. Why? If you believe that God can come through, and you believe that if he doesn't come through, it's because it's best, why be anxious? I tell you why. You're living the miracle of unbelief. You want me to give you another word that proves that we have miracles of unbelief in our life all the time? Worry. I'm finna give you my last call. Don't we feel like that sometimes, Christians? Oh, woe is me. You know what brings that on? Lying about believing in Almighty God who can do all things. Lying about it. One thing I gotta agree though, man, I respect you as a congregation. Absolutely respect you. Because you come here to hear this. Amen. If I wasn't a pastor here, I wouldn't come. I'm telling you the truth, man. I go find me a church gonna tickle my ears, gonna make me feel good about doing nothing. Can I have an amen? That's why a lot of you bounce around. You can only handle Antioch about once a month. I mean, I don't want to be told the truth. I'm just like everybody else. I don't want someone to tell me that I am not living right for Christ and I got miracles in my life all the time, every day, one after another, because I don't believe and I get anxious and I worry. And oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Ah! Ah! And then we worry, wonder why people don't want to be around us. Especially our mates. Do you know how hard it is to be around a mate that's always negative? You know it's bad when you don't want to be around yourself. Can I have an amen? You know why? Worry, anxiety, getting tripping out. Just freak out. Isn't that a song? I have to watch out, man. Well, that's old school right there, boy. Somebody was experiencing that when they wrote that song. But this is what gets me. Are you ready? Check this out. You know, if we let him, verse 48, if we leave him alone, all the men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. Oh, that's the issue. It's about what you want. See, they don't want to believe in Jesus because they want Jesus to join them. See, you most of the time, believing in Jesus is not your call. It is getting Jesus on your side so he thinks the way you do. And if he don't come through the way you want him to come through, you get in the miracle of unbelief. And the Romans going to take over. Oh, we're going to lose our position. Yeah, well, yeah, you know, they don't want to believe in Jesus because they still think Jesus want to be king. And he told them, I don't know how many times, I'm not here to be king of the country right now. I came as a suffering servant right now. When I come back as king, no one's going to have to ask what's up. Everybody's going to know, because I'm not coming back as a suffering servant next time. I'm coming back as a ruling, killing judge. And the only thing Jesus is going to ask the world when he comes back, is it going to be civil or hostile? Either way, I'm going to win. And you're going to lose. And as for me and my house, I want to be on that horse riding down with him. And I'm going to rule with him for 1,000 years. And I'm going to walk around on earth with 4 silverback gorillas. 4 of them. 1 in each direction. Because that's the only time you're going to be able to trust a silverback gorilla during the millennium. Them suckers get mad and rip your arm off and beat you with the wet end. No. Let's get back to the word. Check this out. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, do you? You don't know nothing. What does he mean by that? Don't you know it's best for one man to die instead of the whole nation dying? Quoting scripture, don't even know it. Anybody know anything about Caiaphas? He's a high priest. And since around 4 AD, his family, Annas, was his father-in-law. He ruled from about 4 to 7 AD. Then one of his sons took over, then another son, and then Caiaphas took over in 18 AD. Now, what has been happening over and over and over again if you got all those high priests being changed? Rome has changed them one after another, after another, after another, after another. Why? Let me tell you why. Because Rome was upset about what's going on in Jerusalem. And they're afraid that if they got one more uprising, Rome's going to take their position. Now, here's the Messiah right in front of them, doing miracles, have put the whoop on the greatest miracle at all times. Someone dead in the grave 4 days, rock closed. Yes. And they are more concerned about their position with Rome than their position with Christ. You know what fear do? You know what the miracle of unbelief will do to you? It'll make you stupid. Can I know I got Pastor Riggs and Pastor Wendell in the counseling ministry. I know you guys are looking at me and you're thinking, that's not very nice to call somebody stupid if you want to help them. I know that's probably the first thing you tell folk. Don't call someone stupid if you want to help them. That's why they won't let me be in Acts ministry. You guys go to them. They're good. Me, I get tired sometimes. So Caiaphas ran as a high priest from 18 AD to 36 AD. History says that. The Bible says that who the high priest was when Jesus was crucified was Caiaphas. 3 to 6 years on each side of 33, Caiaphas would be the guy. Because you know what they say about Jesus when he was born. They look at all the calendars and say, Jesus was born 3 years before Jesus. You didn't get that, did you? See, he was born in 3 B.C., if Jesus was born in 3 B.C., then how can it be 3 years before Christ? I don't get it. I'm dumb in that way, I guess. I'm just going to go with A.D. Many people think A.D. after death. No. Anno Domini, year of our Lord. So Caiaphas was right there. I love this. Don't you consider, you don't know nothing, verse 50. And can't you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation would not perish because of that? And this he spake to him and for himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. He sure will. And not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. He's going to die for everybody. Jews that are in Jerusalem, Jews that are scattered, and those of you like you and I who come along later to accept. He's going to die. What is wrong with this man not to believe? What makes you not believe that God is going to come through? Can I have a, we got a couple more minutes. Can I throw another example at you? Would that be okay? Talking about what our tendency is to do and to be. I say, give me 10 reasons why we need to be obedient to God's word, and that is to be in it every day. Study God's word every day. Give me 10 reasons why it's good to be in God's word every day. How many reasons do you think is going to come up? Or why you can't study every day? I can't hear you. Now, you say you believe I need to be in the word every day. I have never, ever run into a Christian to say, I need to be in the word every day. But I've never run into a Christian that does it. I try to make sure I am in the word every day. How many days?
Every day.
Now, this is what gets me. You can come up with 10 reasons why you need to be in the word every day, and you can come up with one reason why you can't be. And guess what? That one reason why you can't be will override the 10 where you should be. That is entering the miracle of unbelief. Oh, my eye. I don't like what my eye sees. Can I have an amen, somebody? I don't like to look in the mirror and see a person who has given his life, is full-time in ministry, has laid out, and I don't care how sick, this is my promise to you, I don't care how sick I am, I don't care how tired I am, I don't care how low I get, I don't care how old I get. The one promise I can give you is your pastor is going to be in the Word every day, studying, filling himself up with the Word, praying himself hot, and then releasing himself and giving you everything he's got when he preached the word. Because it doesn't matter about anything else. If I say I believe that the power is in the word, I would be stupid not to get in it. Unbelief makes you stupid. Want me to prove it? Can I prove it here, right here in this word? Let me prove it to you in this word. Verse 52. And not that for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together on how to put him to death. What? Does that make sense? You're looking at me like, what are you talking about, Willis? Let me see if I can explain it to you. We just got through with the seventh miracle. What did he do on the seventh miracle? He raised someone from the dead. So let's kill him. Now, if he can raise someone else from the dead, do you think perhaps he can come back? Now, many people are believing because Lazarus came back. What's going to happen if they kill him and he comes back? I'm stunned. And you know what you do? You know what I do? We'll get in our prayer and we'll say our prayer and we'll talk about how much we trust God and we'll say, God, I'm giving it all to you. And before we get off our knees, we have already taken it back and we're already worried. I don't understand that. Before we get out of this sermon and before you get to your car, you're going to find something to be upset about and worry about. When we all say we believe in God, I pray that our number one characteristic is that we believe in Him. Instead of always coming up with reasons why we don't have to. Amen. Search yourselves. Be serious about it. Understand that if we serve a God that can do all things, we ought to believe He can. And get rid of some of the anxiety, some of the worry. Some of the mistrust. He wants to do great things. I expect our God to do great things. I look forward to our God doing great things. We don't expect God to do great things anymore. We just think He's just mediocre and it's just blah, 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 blah. I'm tired of Christian blah, 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 blah. I want to see the power of God working in you and in this church. Because the world needs to see it. Do you hear me? The world needs to see the God that we serve. And God isn't concerned about doing it because it's going to make you look good. He's concerned about one thing, and that is, what will the world see so they too can believe? I don't know. It don't seem like it's that tough. It don't seem like it's that tough. But we sure make it tough. Father, thank you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.